never ever woke again. It's almost worth it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Evil Genius Chronicles, evilgeniuschronicles.org for today, Wednesday, September 15th, 2004. This is Dave Slusher. I want to apologize for my kind of abrupt four-day hiatus from doing this. Didn't really plan to do it. I sort of, in my last audio blog last Friday, I knew that it was impossible that I would do it Saturday. And I thought maybe I would do it Sunday, maybe not. But Monday and Tuesday were just kind of an overwhelmingness of life sort of experience, and just couldn't get him in there. So apologize for that. Mike of Nomadic Audio was really funny with his "I want my EGC post." I thought that was, especially considering the kind of genesis of a lot of this stuff, that's pretty funny stuff. Let's see what all is going on. This should be I'm interested really in feedback on how this sounds. I have my newly purchased Griffin iMic, and so I now have, I had been talking, you know, just at my laptop, which I don't know how many of these audio blogs I said that just felt stupid. I felt like an adult talking towards my screen, and, you know, I didn't like, it's still a new iPod, so I didn't like, you know, spitting on the screen and all that kind of crap. So what I have now, a little about my setup, I dusted off some of my old Reality Break era audio things. And, you know, none of this stuff is great. This is all like Radio Shack stuff. So it's, you know, bottom of the mid level or top of the bottom level stuff. You know, none of it is very expensive. None of it is that super high quality. But it's, you know, better than the built-in mic on the iBook. And so, you know, I've set up my mic stand so that, you know, I actually have a mic in my face, which, again, as being a radio guy, I prefer. And also as a guy with an asymmetrical lisp, this helps me put the mic where the lisp is not and hopefully reduces that a little bit. And, you know, I got a nice windscreen on the mic. So I've got that running into my cheapy Radio Shack mixer. And that mixer is then going into the iMic. I tried some experiments with just the mic going straight into the iMic. And so it's supposed to have line level and microphone level inputs, but running just the mic straight into this Griffin iMic never had enough signal. It was, you know, you crank it all the way up and it was still just wasn't right. So, you know, I'm going through the mixer and then the mixer output is line level. And so I actually have, you know, knobs. I have VU meters I can look at, you know, I have not. So really for me, this is, you know, this is a step up. I like having you know, sliders and knobs and switches and bouncing needles on meters. It's, you know, it's like old times. back to where we came from. So that's all cool. Hopefully this sounds good. I had to fart around with the iMic, and actually I ended up making an unnecessary trip to Radio Shack because I thought that I was getting this crunchy, crackly, drecky noise in it, and I thought, you know, I would get it even if with just the mixer plugged in, you know, no mic or no anything. So I thought at first maybe I was picking up some interference in the cables, you know, that happens. And it turns out that it was just, so I got some wire so I could ground the mixer. I thought that maybe that was the issue. And then as it turns out, by experimenting, just the iMic plugged in with nothing plugged into it would give me that crackly sound. So it had something to do with having the Audacity settings not quite the same, and I had to go into the audio MIDI setup on OS X and set some stuff. And to be honest, I'm not exactly sure what I did. I just iterated enough that eventually it quit sounding like ass, and it sounds pretty good. So hopefully when you hear this, the audio of this should sound better. I should sound, you know, more up close and personal, and you know, it's definitely, from my experience, it feels better. You know, I'm sitting here in the chair. I used to move the computer because it sits on a desk with several other computers and there's all kinds of noise and stuff. So I used to move it over kind of across the room so it would be farther from that stuff. But now I've got my nice, you know, unidirectional mic pointed away from all that. So none of that stuff should be picked up on the mic, and everything should be good. We should all be straight, brothers and sisters. Should be set up. So I actually want to thank Mike from Nomadic Audio. I mentioned him earlier. It actually was very touching that people were missing this when I, you know, I went 4 days without posting, and people are kind of jonesing. People wanting another episode, and you know, I actually appreciate that. It's, you know, it's kind of a nice feeling that people care when you when you're not there. It's always what you want. You never want people to say, "Oh, have you been gone? Oh, you weren't around? I thought you were here." So that's that. Today, the iPodder link was /dotted, and you know, I used to read /dot a lot, and I just kind of stopped. And for a similar reason that I've actually considered stopping reading Boing Boing, which is that all the really good stuff that I care about comes in from either from other sources that I already read before it was there, or somebody's going to post a pointer to it. And both of them have a lot of crap that I just could not give a shit about if I tried. You know, on Boing Boing, it's, you know, Cory Doctorow, God love him, great guy, great writer. But man, if I see another post about Disney, I am just going to vomit Mickey Mouse ears. You know, it's just, I don't give a shit about Disney. And I especially don't care, you know, 7 posts every day about Disney and Disney World and Roy Disney and Michael Eisner. Who gives a fuck? Fuck Disney. So, if I were in, like, Jenny Jardin, or however you pronounce her name, you know, with robots and objects shaped like Hello Kitty, you know, after a while, Jesus Christ, how many things can be... you would assume that eventually Sanrio will shape everything, including, you know, enema balls, be like the Choco Cat enema ball. So after a while, the novelty is not there anymore. Now, were I a Boing Boing contributor, everyone would get sick of seeing more like Mexican wrestling stuff. You know, no one else cares as much about your fetishes. That's the nature of the fetish. But I get tired of it. And same thing with /dot. With /dot, it's mainly the commenters. And the only reason I ever got a /dot account in the first time, because I really don't care that much, and I once cared and I just stopped, is so that I can log in to my account and then just put the comment threshold up to 5. And often I just go out of my way to not even scroll down low enough to see the comments. And if you look at the comments that are kind of on that iPodder post, it is prototypical for the horseshit that just makes me not care anything about /dot comments, because you could easily machine generate all the threads on there. You know, you got to have you have like a probabilistic script that will say, okay, certain percent will say that's already been done, and a certain percent will say, is that all there is? And a certain percent will make stupid jokes about something, and a few will be completely unrelated, and a few will tell other people what an asshole they are for thinking this. It's just nothing to it. You know, if that was the only thing I knew about online communities was /dot comment threads, I would think that was the worst shit in the world. Like, why does everybody talk about this? This is nothing. So it's amazing to me the kind of, it seems like the, you know, I don't know what percentage of people actually leave comments. I'm guessing probably, you know, 0.1%. Almost everybody reads, and probably very few people leave the comments. So you kind of self-selected for a certain kind of person. And that kind of person, one, is kind of an asshole, and two, has really bad reading comprehension. I don't know why everyone on there, for like the first 100 comments, seems to think the iPodder has something to do with streaming. Either outputting streaming or reading in streaming, when that's sort of not quite the opposite, but almost the opposite of what it's really about. It's not about streaming. So that was something. And I just hope the /dot storm, you know, doesn't kill Adam's bandwidth on it. Hopefully, you know, the fraction of people who are actually interested will kind of stick around, and the assholes will move on, as assholes do. Yesterday I ended up having a little time I needed to occupy, and so what I did is I went and got the BitTorrent of the kind of user-contributed audiobook for Lawrence Lessig's Free Culture, which was an interesting experience. And this won't be quite as thorough as Adam's audiobook reviews, but it was interesting to hear it. The content of the book was outstanding. It was a great book. The nice thing about it is that it was, you know, we have the audiobook, people kind of contributed, it was freely available. The downside is that they might should have, when they were arranging this, they might should have arranged a style guide amongst themselves. For one thing, and I actually think I might be, I'll email the guy and see if he cares enough for me to do this. The audio levels on that thing was wildly inconsistent, to the point where some of them, even with everything cranked up, I could still barely hear them. They were so quiet. And then some of them, you know, you flip from chapter to chapter and you've got everything cranked up and then boom, and it blows you out. You know, it's like, ah, you blast a hole in your eardrum because it's so loud. And then there was something, there's one guy, and, you know, God love him, he had the longest, he had like a 100-minute chapter. So that was a brutal thing to record, I'm sure. But unfortunately, you know, the person with the most problematic delivery style did the longest chapter. So, you know, 20% of the listening time was listening to this guy who made some really odd kind of reading choices. And the way he would hesitate and emphasize when he was reading, I think a lot of times even gave like odd meanings or opposite meanings to the sentence by hitting the word that wasn't really the emphatic word of that sentence. And, you know, with odd pronunciations and just kind of odd delivery. So that one was kind of a little bit hard to listen to. And so, you know, I don't want to talk too much smack about somebody who, you know, sat down and spent 2 hours of his life recording this so other people could hear it for free. But, you know, one of the things, and several people did certain variations of this, like the when you would come to a word that was in quotation marks, open quote, close quote. Well, there was one person, I forget which chapter, it was in towards the last half or last third. Somebody, you know, did that, pronounced the quotation marks, and there was a stretch of like, you know, 5 or 10 things in a row with it. They were like, open quote, this was, close quote, open quote. Yeah, and after a while, it was unlistenable. It's like that stretch was just, all you were hearing was open quote, close quote. Like, don't pronounce the punctuation unless you absolutely have to. Open parentheses, close parentheses. A few people did that. Like, please don't. It reminded me of the old Electric Company skit where Victor Borga would do the, you know, he would read the comment, the comma would be, you know, it's like some weird noises for all the punctuation. You don't have to pronounce it, you know. But by and large, it was a great thing. It was cool to have listened to it. I got, you know, at certain points, I got my kind of umbrage worked up. I found it to be kind of what would you say? Kind of downlifting might be the best kind of term. I mean, it made me mad, you know. It made me, particularly the part about the guy, you know, the guy who got sued for the search engine. You know, I remember being pissed off about that at the time, but I didn't really know the specifics as well. And the whole RIAA shakedown stuff, the, you know, what do we need to settle? How much you got? You know, just out to just bust people's balls and, they don't really, you know, that's not really a revenue stream for them. They just want to ruin people because they want to. It's exactly the same way the mob works, you know. They want people to know that if you cross them, they're going to, you know, leave you ruined in the gutter. And it's just horseshit. And by God, I had been talking about Jill Sobule and buying her album. And, you know, I was exhorting people to buy it and I forgot to ever buy it. So I really need to buy it this week. But in one of the, they had on, I can't remember if it was Amazon or CD Baby or wherever her CD Universe, I think, is where her affiliate link goes to. And I had other people bought, and one of them was this Jonathan Brook album, Back in the Circus. And I've been hearing this on World Cafe, and I thought about buying it, but I went to check RIAA Safe on Magnet Box, and it's not. So it was like Barking Dog or some odd sounding label, but it's actually a subsidiary of Verve. So it's a, you know, it's a major label. And, I might, you know, at times I have given in on this, and after listening to that Free Culture, fuck the RIAA. You know, the only good way to make these guys stop doing what they're doing is to cut them off at the money. So there's no way. I'll go without music if the only way would be to get it from the RIAA. I just don't want any more of my money going into their pockets. You know, it's like that whole, when you do drugs, you fund terrorism. Well, when you buy this music, you fund this horseshit, and the only way to stop them is to take away their power, and the only way to take away their power is to take away their money. So I have at times considered actually organizing a formal boycott, but you know, that's just the last thing in the world I need in my life right now. I've got enough problems without that kind of thing. But so I've got a one-man boycott that is absolute and zero tolerance, and I really would like that new Indigo Girls album, but I can't have it. So I might have to go some other route. But it's amazing to me that they've gone the other way. So me personally, you know, I've never been that big into P2P. And, you know, in most cases, it's easier and cheaper for me to just buy things than it is to download them. But they've had the opposite effect. Things that I am, in fact, willing to buy, now I'm specifically not buying and may download just to avoid getting my money in their pockets because they're such fucking cocksuckers. Good God, am I full of hatred for this organization. I've never felt like this way about a trade organization before, and I probably never will again. But anyway, Free Culture, great book. I recommend the audiobook highly with the few caveats, but you know, you get what you pay for, and I paid nothing for it. And you know, I have don't have an iPod. I have a iRiver Slim X, which is one of those CD-based MP3 players. So I downloaded all the files and I burned them to an MP3 CD. So I was listening to them in the car, and I can't find, since the move, I can't find my little cassette adapter, you know, thing that you plug into the headphone jack and then it plays into your car stereo. I really wanted to listen to this stuff. So what I ended up doing is I have one of these power inverters, you know, that you plug into the cigarette lighter and then it gives you an AC jack. And so I also didn't have the Slim X charged up, and so I needed to plug that thing in. But I also couldn't find my adapter, so I also took my computer speaker. So I plugged that into the headphone jack. So I'm listening to this thing on the computer, and then I need a power strip because there's only one plug on my power inverter. So it's the most rickety, bizarre, country-ass, jerry-rigged setup you've ever seen, with my computer speaker kind of on the seat next to me, and just wires everywhere, and this whole organized day thing that went out the window for this setup. It was just, it looked like something that Jethro Bodine would have set up. I mean, it was really awful. I kind of, a little bit of it's still in the car. I need to tear this down before anyone happens to look in the car window and see this. And I have to admit that I did this. But when I was saying that some of those files were recorded too quiet, I had to pick the speaker up and set it in my lap, like on the steering wheel, to hear this stuff. It was so quiet. I couldn't hear it, you know, 2 feet away with everything. The Slim X turned all the way up and the computer speaker turned all the way up. Still too quiet to hear. So, but man, that setup was something. I should have took a digital picture of it to post it. And, I guess a few of you may have saw this part of the reason why I didn't do anything on Sunday. I actually went out to the beach, which, you know, doesn't sound like a big deal. I'm sure lots of people go out to the beach, but I've only been to the beach, even though I lived in Chicago, you know, with the beaches in Evanston right there. Didn't go the whole time we lived in Evanston. We went near there, but we never actually went onto the beach. And so we went to the beach when we were house hunting, but we haven't been there since we lived here. And so my family was there and they were staying on the beach, and I actually went and hung out. So we get the picture of me, you know, at the beach with that, you know, ocean hair. So I got long hair anyway, and it looks almost kind of dreadlocky with that weird salty ocean stuff. And so I had my brother take a picture of me, except the second he snapped the picture was, I guess I was trying to flick some hair out of my mouth or something. So it looks almost like I'm doing this weird Dr. Evil finger in the mouth thing. And somebody, I forget which wise ass, somebody left a thing about my wardrobe malfunction because my you know, my left nipple is poking out. So that's pretty funny stuff. But I actually, you know, in that picture, I'm still pretty fish belly, but I'm actually slightly less fish belly than I normally am. I have, you know, not a tan, but I actually look like some sun has touched some of my flesh. And I managed not to burn, you know, with the liberal application of some SPF 15. And I thought it was funny that my mother is out there on the beach and she's wearing, I think, SPF 50. She's wearing a hat. She's wearing like a beach robey thing. She's under an umbrella. Like, she came all this way to the beach. She's basically created her one-person solar eclipse. There's no way any sun is going to touch her skin anywhere. So it's like, why don't you just sit in the hotel room and look out the window? And then and you'll have to, you know, be a lot less effort, and you would equally get no sun whatsoever. But I still haven't got around, obviously, if I was too busy to even post text. I've only posted one text blog in the last, or two text blogs in the last 4 days. Not enough time to prepare my deviled egg recipe for Johnny X, which my deviled egg recipe is actually, with very slight modifications, is the one out of the Better Homes and Gardens cookbook that my mom gave me when I was leaving for college 20 years ago. And most of the dishes I make are out of that same cookbook I've had for 20 years now. And my big thing, and the modification that I do that I think makes a big difference, is I never use white vinegar in the deviled eggs. I always use a red wine vinegar. It just gives us this extra kind of tang and funk, and it tastes really good with the paprika. So that's what I suggest. If you make the deviled eggs, give it a shot with the red wine vinegar. That's good eating. Mm-mm-mm-mm. So, gonna wrap it up there. Kind of a little bit scatterbrained day, but you know, it's the first one back. Please do, if you got any feedback on how this sounds, the audio quality should be better. You know, if it's not, I'll tweak things. I've been tweaking things all along based on people's input. You know, the naming convention, the way I do the names, the dates in the ID tags, some of the ways I introduce things, some of the ways I used in music. That's all from user feedback. Oh, and one other piece of user feedback. Somebody, and I forget who, I'm sorry, I'm actually getting like an order of magnitude more comments and emails than I used to. So please don't feel slighted if I can't remember everybody's name when I'm doing this, because there's a lot more to remember than I used to have to. Somebody sent me an email, I believe, about the theme song that I use, and they were talking about how it gets stuck in their head, which it gets stuck in my head too. And we're suggesting that maybe that the kind of droniness of the fact that I use that same like minute and a half piece for 20 some minutes, suggesting that I might want to break it up or do something different. And I'm curious to see if people, anyone else has other feedback on that. Because, I listen to, I usually listen to this through at least one time every day that I do this. And so I hear that song, every week I hear that song for about 2 hours. And after a while, it just kind of disappears. What's the term for that? Iconographic. It stops being the song, and it becomes this kind of different entity that's not the same thing as a song. It's this, it takes on a meaning of its own, and it sort of fades out of meaning, and it kind of drops out when I listen to it. So I'm just curious to know what people think. Would you prefer this without the music bed all the way through, or with just a different music bed, or different pieces that run through, or I'm all ears, I'm all eyes. Leave me right back. Send me email, dslusher@gmail.com, if you have any feedback. And as always, leave comments. Getting a lot of comments on the blog, and I love that. So it's it makes it feel like a big party. And if it's a party, I'm making the deviled eggs. So anyway, that's been the evilgeniuschronicles.org for the day. Today is Wednesday, September 15th, 2004. I will catch you again next time. Bye.